In complete dependence upon our Lord to help us. I'd ask your prayerful attention to a few words we find in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, and the last clause of verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, and the last clause of verse 26. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. The whole verse reads, and said, if thou wilt, this is the Lord, and if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Dear friends, the Lord's word is truth, and it is full of power. He spake, as we read this morning in Psalm 33, and the world, the universe, the heavens came into being. There is nothing greater than the power of the word of God. For what he says, it shall be done. And although that which he hath created, the heavens and the earth, shall pass away, his word of truth shall never pass away. For his word, dear friends, concerns eternity, and that eternity shall never end. And whenever we read of the word of God speaking, dear friends, be assured that it will be so. There is to be no doubt. Oh, what a sweet word of comfort this is to his people. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. The context is in his people Israel, a coming out of Egypt. And as they journeyed, having been delivered by the hand and the power and the word of God, from that which they could not deliver themselves, they needed water, because without the taking in of water, as we know, there is no life. They needed water to maintain them in life, to continue in the journey. And they came to this water, and it was called Marah, no doubt by them, because they could not drink of the water. For they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Oh dear friends, how solemn to see and to perceive that which is needful, even a natural sense for life, and not be able to drink of it. What terrible state of heart and mind that must have brought upon the children of Israel. But the Lord will not let his people be tempted above what they're able to bear. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will supply thy need. He showed Moses when he cried unto him, and the Lord showed him a tree. which when this tree was cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. Dear friends, it was the Lord's command, and it was obeyed in faith by Moses. And dear friends, where the Lord commands, and we hear his voice, to obey is to put a matter right. Showed him a tree, which when was cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made an ordinance and a statute with the people. Now, dear friends, there's a spiritual application here, isn't there? Of this need of the Lord Jesus Christ to being cast into that which is bitter. The things of our lives, the sin of our soul. Dear friends, to a child of God, those things, the sins of our soul, are made very bitter. We grieve over them. But here's a type of the Lord Jesus. This tree cast into the waters, the bitter waters of sin, the bitter waters of grief and sorrow, are through the power of Satan. And those bitter waters then of sin and sorrow and grief and hopelessness to be made sweet. The hope of eternal life, the water of salvation. To drink by faith of that which has been cleansed by the Lord. And so we continue on life's journey. Dear friends, ever provided by this living water, which the Lord causes to flow for his people. As I read this morning concerning those that fear the Lord, planted by the rivers of water, they shall drink, and they shall drink forever. Oh, the constant supply, the unfailing supply of all the needed grace, love and mercy of God for the life of our soul. Now there's also something else here. The Lord made a statute and an ordinance. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. In other words, dear friends, if thou wilt walk perfectly and uprightly in accordance with my law, in accordance with my desire and my sovereign will, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians. All those plagues and terrible things that came upon the Egyptians because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart and the unbelieving heart of the people. Dear friends, they were the condemnation of God, weren't they, for their unbelief and sin. If we walk perfectly and uprightly, then none of those things will come upon us. But the Lord knew that that was impossible. The Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Adam and Eve could not keep clear of disobeying one commandment, let alone all that which was commanded of God. And all those of Adam and Eve's race, dear friends, they're born in sin. It's impossible for man to do this. And so the Lord gives a promise. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. There's only need of healing where there's sickness, isn't there? And as we consider this waters of Marah, dear friends, I believe we can look at it in this light. Oh, those waters of Marah are just like his people. The souls of his people, they're bitter. They're sinners. They're unacceptable before him. He cannot receive them. But again, through the gift of his Son, his own work, the life of his only begotten Son on Calvary's cross, and his resurrection, or to destroy the power of sin. Dear friends, by that being cast in, even into this earth, his people, bitter though that they are in their sinfulness, they're made acceptable in the sight of God. They're accepted in the Beloved. He sees of the travail of his soul and is satisfied. And they're made sweet. Oh, dear friends, how the Scriptures, no matter what angle we look at them from, how they testify of the glory of the work of Christ, don't they? This healing of our souls, the healing of the souls of all his people, made completely well and whole from that of which was sick. Now when Jesus was upon this earth, he had power to heal the soul. He had power to forgive sins. And this was made manifest, this was revealed in the examples, the many examples he showed to those who were sick in body. Dear friends, sickness in body is a consequence of the sickness of sin, isn't it? Before man sinned, all was good. God saw that everything he made, and it was good. But when man sinned, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not may die, it shall die. And dear friends, so death came upon all that was living upon this earth. And dear friends, that death is brought about by sickness, for the most part, it is a disease. Or maybe by injury, even by sin itself, as one will slay another. Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. And we're all under the curse on account of sin. Not only was thorns and thistles brought forth upon the land which was cursed, there was disease and violence and man has been affected ever since. But I am the Lord that healeth thee. Who is the thee? We read of that man who was sick of the palsy. He was carried to Jesus by those four friends. And dear friends, that carrying to Jesus wasn't an easy matter. Jesus was in the house. The house was filled. We read in another gospel, people were outside the door. They could not get in. So they went up on the roof. Determination to get this beloved one whom they were carrying to the feet of Jesus. Because they believed by faith that he could heal that man of the palsy. What was impossible with God, so what's impossible with man, was possible with God. Now that was their faith, that was God-given faith. They removed the tiling from the roof. How easy that was, I do not know. We know they had flat roofs in those days. Not a sloping roof like we have. So the tiling was removed, what was underneath. There was the support for the tiling. How they got his bed down through that, we don't know. They had to persevere. Dear friends, where there's faith, faith will not give way. It will endure. And that what endures, dear friends, to the end, to bring about that cause which is desired, dear friends, it shall come to pass. We read of that, don't we? And they brought this man through the ceiling, as we might say, of the room where Christ was, and laid him at Jesus' feet. And Jesus, immediately seeing their faith, said, "Thy sins, man, thy sins be forgiven thee." The cleansing of his soul. And those scribes and the Pharisees from Jerusalem and Judea and from the other places murmured in themselves, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" That's the truth, isn't it? Who can forgive sins but God only? And so, Jesus, knowing their hearts, knowing every murmur, nothing is hidden from him, says, "Why reason ye in your hearts these things? Is it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Take up thy bed and walk'?" The healing of the body, which is then evident, which is then seen. It is of the flesh and it's seen by the flesh. A witness of his power. And so he turned to that man lying at his feet, "Son, rise and walk. Go into the, take up thy couch and go into thy house." And immediately he got up and walked and glorified God. And all the people who saw it, they glorified God. We have seen strange things today. Amazing things. Oh, dear friends, how often perhaps we stand amazed at what the Lord can do. For he is the same yesterday, he is the same today, he is the same forever. We read of that man who was a leper, who came unto Jesus with his sickness. Dear friends, leprosy was the disease for death. There was no earthly cure for it in the days when Jesus walked this earth. And he, coming unto Jesus, fell down at his feet, prostrate, complete dependence, worshipping the Lord, pouring out his heart before him. "Lord, if thou wilt..." Was for faith, wasn't it? That was faith. "Lord, if it is thy will, I'm an unworthy sinner. I am worthy, not worthy of the least of thy mercies. But if it is thy will concerning me, a poor sinner, then thou canst heal me. Thou canst heal me." Oh, dear friends, these prayers of faith. No demand. Just humbly, by faith, pouring out one's need before the Lord. Was he sent empty away? The Lord said to him, spoke to him, "I will heal thee, I will." And he touched him. And immediately he was made whole. Now that must have been an amazing sight. For leprosy is a dreadful disease which affects all the parts of the body, doesn't it? From head to the extremities of the toes and fingers. Jesus said, "See that thou tell no man, but go to the priest. Show thyself unto the priest." He'd been declared unclean by the law. He was now to show himself clean by the law. Not through any work of the law, but through the work of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and this prayer of faith. "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Dear friends, that's how Christ fulfills the law, isn't it? By his grace. even that which is declared unclean by the law, through the grace of God, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his glorious power. That which is unclean under the law, dear friends, is cleansed. And their uncleanness is blotted out. Oh, what power there is in Christ. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And as I said, it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it's the Christ the same yesterday, today and forever, dear friends, the same Jesus who worked then, in accordance with the written things concerning him, I am the Lord that healeth thee, he is the same today. Oh, for the need of faith to bring and lay our conditions before the Lord in a right manner. How we suffer, don't we, because of unbelief and doubts and fears and the workings of our own mind, trying to work things out for ourselves. Dear friends, what we need is submission. Submission. We think, don't we, of, well, yes, yesterday goes beyond when Jesus was born. Yesterday goes before Christ came into the world. Our text is before Christ came into the world. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, you think of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick. He was sick unto death. And all the exercise upon Hezekiah, he was not ready to die. He went to his bed, turned his face to the wall, and cried unto the Lord, saying what he had done. He was a good king, wasn't he? But could all his deeds deliver him from that which was before him? No. Could the physicians do that which was to heal him? When the Lord had spoken of concerning his sickness, and thou shalt die, this sickness is unto death. No. No one could do anything about that. It was the Lord's word. It was the Lord's will, and it was for the Lord's purpose. And dear friends, that solemn state into which Hezekiah came, fearing death because of his sickness, dear friends, it led him to humble prayer. It led him to a prayer of faith, not trusting in any worth of his own. It was came down to what he feared. Of himself, he feared that he would not live to see the morning. And as a crane and a swallow, so did he chatter. That would mean words which were not decipherable by the listening ear. But, dear friends, they were the groanings of his heart. Lord, undertake for me. That was his complete submission. That was his complete casting everything concerning him, whether it was life or death, upon the Lord. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Undertake for me. Now, dear friends, the Lord heard that prayer. He heard that cry. He came from a humble, a contrite, and a broken heart. There was nothing of Hezekiah's self left. Nothing he could depend upon himself for. Lord, undertake for me. And the Lord heard that cry, didn't he? Hezekiah did not die. Hezekiah was given a glorious promise in his recovery. And he could declare through the knowledge of that promise that he hath cast my sins behind his back. He hath delivered me from the pit of corruption See, that was Hezekiah's fear, not that he was going to heaven, he was going down into the corruption, the pit of corruption, where there would be no hope. Oh, dear friends, how we need to be taught, don't we, and delivered from anything we have of our own righteousnesses and of our own deeds, as if they're acceptable before God. Our complete and utter dependence is upon His mercy, the work of Christ, to put away our sin. He hath cast my sins behind His back, delivered me from the pit of corruption. The Lord was ready to save me. And what was the evidence, dear friends, of that? The evidence, dear friends, was in His healing of His sickness. The blessing of the means that were used to heal his boil, as it says in the scripture. They were to place this lump of figs on the boil, and he would be healed, and he would be able to go to the house of God, and there to sing praise unto God and glorify the Lord for what he'd done. You see, dear friends, it's... There's an example of the blessing of the means, the confirming of the means that are used to heal a physical sickness through a prayer of faith, that there's also the curing and the healing of the soul. Now, what does this teach us, dear friends? Our sicknesses, and we all have them, don't we, from time to time. How do we view them? Do we just view them in a natural sense? Oh, they're bound to come. We're bound to catch this, we're bound to catch that, we're bound to suffer this at some time. And well, everyone does, don't they? Whether they believe in God or not. Everyone has sicknesses. Many, when they have sicknesses, they just depend and take themselves to the doctors, to the hospital, wherever they can go, and depend on them completely for curing, for healing, for the treatment, whatever is to be put to them. And if that doesn't work, dear friends, how ready they are to blame and accuse and even to sue that things haven't been done rightly for them. Complaining, murmuring. Oh, dear friends, in our sicknesses, let us never be left to a murmuring and a complaining spirit, even on that which man can do for us. Our times are in the Lord's hand, and everything is given of God for a purpose. And, dear friends, if we have been brought to fear the Lord, as we spoke of this morning, if we've been brought to trust in Him and have hope in Him, then whatever comes in our pathway is for a divine purpose. The good of our souls, our own souls, or maybe the furtherance of the gospel, the use in another's case. What a need we have, don't we? That when sickness comes upon us, to realize, oh, the substance of sin within our own soul. That is, the sickness of our body is the evidence of a sickness of our soul, that we're under the curse of God. And dear friends, if we desire aright for the sanctification of that sickness, we shall plead with the Lord that it be used for the good of our soul. That even if it's the Lord's will, that curing of the sickness will be an evidence of our sins forgiven. We have it more than time and time and time again in the scripture, don't we? These outward evidences that the Lord is merciful to us. Yes, in our sickness, We take ourselves, of course, to the means that we have today of the medical profession. But we don't just leave it there, do we? Even before we go there, dear friends, are we not committing it unto the Lord? Are we not saying, Lord, why is this? Is this due to some particular sin I have not repented of? Is this to show me that my soul is sick and ready to die without thy mercy? Is this to be used to bring me to that prayer of faith, to where I have nothing in myself, but just to commit myself into thy hand, whether it's life or whether it's death? Lord, if it is thy will, thou canst heal me. Lord, if it is thy will, thou canst use this for the blessing of my soul. And you cast yourself completely on the Lord. And dear friends, it's in that strength that you then go to any means, if there is the possibility of going to any means. You don't have to. But we're not to neglect the means. Dear friends, those means may be administered by the skills and the doctors and surgeons, whatever it may come to. But everything is under the hand of God for the Lord's people who have committed everything unto them, unto him, and lie passive in his hands. Lie passive in his hands. And dear friends, for those who are brought to lie passive in his hands, even under the sense of pain and sickness, there's a peace. A peace that passeth understanding. And there's a continuation of prayer. Dear friends, there's a praying without ceasing. That the Lord at all times, will be mindful and bring to pass that which is for the confirmation of the blessing of your soul. That you can say, even with Hezekiah, the Lord was ready to save me, cast my sins behind his back. All the prayers of faith. We read of that of Elijah, didn't we, who prayed. And he didn't rain for 2.5 years. And he prayed again. And it did rain. But he had to go 7 times that second time, didn't he? He had to go 7 times on Mount Carmel. He sent his servant and said, go and look towards the sea. And they said, came back and says, there's nothing. Continuing as it had been for 2.5 years, drought, no rain at all. Go again 7 times. Continuing prayer, Elijah had to do. And we may have to do that. It may not all come at once. But you know, dear friends, where the prayer of faith is given, that is of God. And the prayer that is poured out from your heart is indicted by the Holy Ghost. And that indicting by the Holy Ghost to help you in prayer, the Lord will surely hear. The scriptures tell us, doesn't it? Oh, how short we come, don't we? When we bring our matters, even of sickness, before the Lord. We try to work things out ourselves. Dear friends, in this day of technology, we perhaps could even look at the internet. Oh, this is what seems to be wrong with me. This is seems to be what's going to happen. This is what should be done, and so on and so forth. And we get our own mind and our own will and our own work determining what's going to happen. Dear friends, that won't succeed. Like when Israel went down to Egypt for help when they were in trouble and had not asked at the Lord's mouth. They had not committed it unto him in prayer. Their strength, says the Lord, was to sit still. Was to sit still. Now that wasn't fatalism. Saying, we'll just do nothing and what will be. Dear friends, to sit still is to not do anything. That is contrary, or should I say, in accordance with your own mind and your own will. to sit still is to commit it at all times to the Lord in prayer, watching, waiting for his appearing and his good hand to be shown in the matter. The prayer of faith, thy will be done. The answer to the prayer of faith, I will, be thou clean. And oh dear friends, if the Lord brings that healing to the body, brings that deliverance from that sickness, oh how wonderful it is if we can see in that it being sanctified, it is the Lord's mercy upon our soul. Go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole. Dear friends, these are the blessings the Lord has to impart. Yesterday we heard the account of Dr. Allen, who had been seriously ill 18 months ago. And he'd been given these two, I won't call them options, too solemn for that. When the surgeon saw him, having been referred there very quickly, he says, you need a major operation, which I doubt if you've got the strength to come through. But if you don't have the operation, you'll be dead in 3 days. Dear friends, it was committed unto the Lord, the operation, to use the means. He was brought through the operation. He said, through great prayer and crying unto the Lord. But after a little while afterwards, he had a great relapse. And in that relapse, Satan appeared. He feared he was going to go into hell. All his sins were there. And he knew the people were around his bed trying to resuscitate him or whatever it was going on. But he said, his great cry was, the Lord's will to be done. He didn't pray for life. He just prayed for deliverance from Satan's power. And the deliverance from Satan's power, the Lord gave him a word in Psalm 103. And from that time the Lord spoke that word. He said Satan had to go. And he began to get better from his relapse. And he did make that recovery at the time. And the next day, his wife came to see him. And she said, the Lord's given me a word. There's been a word from the Lord to me concerning you. He says, what's that? The same word what he'd given himself at the same time on the previous day. The Lord the same yesterday, today and forever. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And dear friends, where there's that healing, is it not to be that that one then is to be used further to the honour and glory of God? When the Lord heals us, dear friends, is it to be that we are delivered, that we may be true followers of him, that we may serve him as we ought? Or we've called upon him in the day of our trouble. He has delivered us. We're to glorify him. Don't forget that. We're to glorify him. Because I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that blesses those means which you may have used upon you. I am the Lord that hears and answers your prayer. I am the Lord that can do that which is impossible with man. Dear friends, this God is our God. Oh, how we're to humble ourselves, aren't we, under the mighty hand of God. That he may exalt us in due time, casting all our care upon him. For he careth for you. Dear friends, when we come to know that, oh, that is a wonderful blessing. When Matthew was writing his gospel, I think it was Matthew, he spoke of a time when the Lord was healing many of the people. And he quoted that part of Isaiah, how he hath delivered us from our sicknesses and healed our diseases. Now, when you look at Isaiah 53, you see there the link between the sickness of the body and the sickness of the soul. In Isaiah 53, we read concerning our iniquities and our sins. He shall bear their iniquities. He shall bear the sin of many. What did Matthew say when he quoted that? It was in the context where the Lord Jesus had taken upon himself the sicknesses and the diseases of many, taken them upon himself, and he'd issued that cure to them. And so it is, dear friends, that's the great evidence we want, isn't it? Concerning our soul. That the Lord has taken upon himself our sickness of our iniquities, the disease of our sinfulness. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He's laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, dear friends, that's the sanctification of a sickness, isn't it? When we can glorify God. The time will come when there will be no healing in the body. Because the time will come for the Lord to end our life upon this earth. It may be through sickness, disease, it may be through injury, whatever. And there'll be no physical healing. Dear friends, if we've known no spiritual healing unto that time, how solemn it will be. If there's never been anything of our earthly life to sanctify our spiritual pathway, if there's been nothing to confirm within our soul any cleansing of the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness, no faith given through the grace of God to look and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then, dear friends, we shall be cast into hell. But, oh, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That time when will come for each one of us to pass through that solemn hour and article of death, to pass away from this life into eternity. Dear Francis, then, isn't it? Oh, to have that good hope through the grace that we may glorify and rejoice in Christ our Saviour, knowing that he that hath healed us from all our sin will carry us through that time into the glorious kingdom. There will be no sickness, there will be no sin, there will be nothing to harm us. There will only be peace and health and glory forevermore. And there, dear friends, we shall glorify him and none other. For this is the word of truth. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Dear friends, how can we pass away without the knowledge of this truth? We know not when that passing away will come. We know not what another day may bring forth. Oh, as the Lord Jesus says, never mind about our food and our drink, which is so needful and what we must thank the Lord for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all other things shall be added unto you. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Dear friends, we read of praise and glory to Christ the Lamb in heaven. Oh, to know in measure the praise, the glory to Christ the Lamb upon this earth, who hath healed us from all our sin and blotted out our transgressions. As we were singing that last hymn, another hymn came to me. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen.